You're listening to member-supported radio for Northern Minnesota. It's KEXE, KBXE, The Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton. Coming up on Monday, the virtual Brown Bag Lunch Series at the Brainerd Public Library will feature Minnesota Book Award winner Maya Dusenberry. Her book is called Doing Harm, The Truth About How Bad Medicine and Lazy Science Leave Women Dismissed, Misdiagnosed, and Sick. And Maya joins me via Zoom now. Hi, Maya. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's just get right into this. Give us an example of how men and women are treated differently when it comes to their own health care. Let's take like a heart attack as an example.
Yeah, a heart disease is a good example. I think it really illustrates the two big problems that I identified when it comes to women's health care. First, there's a knowledge gap. So even the very best doctors just don't have as much information about how women's bodies and symptoms and conditions may differ from men. So in the case of a heart attack, women actually tend to have more atypical symptoms. They don't necessarily have the sort of classic textbook Hollywood heart attack or with chest pain and radiating arm pain. They might have more things like nausea or jaw pain or fatigue. So that could lead to a sort of delay in identifying what's going on. And then the other big problem I think impacts women's health is what I call the trust gap. So there's a tendency for women's symptoms to be dismissed or minimized, and especially to be psychologized when they're reporting their symptoms to their healthcare providers. So in a case of a heart attack, this often results in women's symptoms being brushed off as just stress or anxiety, you know, since there is overlap in symptoms between a heart attack and a panic attack, being told, you know, it's just a panic attack, especially because we do have this stereotype that heart disease in particular is sort of a men's disease and women aren't as impacted. But in fact, while women's rates are somewhat lower than men's for much of their lives, you know, heart disease is still the number one killer of American women today.
So there's an idea then that it might be all in our heads if we go in with symptoms we don't really understand in our bodies. And does that lead to women also kind of over time maybe not being as forthcoming because they aren't believed always in their symptoms?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a huge problem. You know, I think what happens over time is, you know, I heard from many of the women that I interviewed for the book that being told repeatedly by healthcare providers and doctors who are these, you know, really respected experts in our culture that nothing was wrong or it was just stress or, you know, some version of it's all in their head really started to make them second guess themselves. And so I think that is a really, really very dangerous effect of this sort of bias that buck up and push through, you know, live with really disabling symptoms. I think that is a very potentially dangerous effect of this sort of bias and tendency to dismiss women's symptoms, that they really internalize that dismissal and stop even seeking care and stop looking for a provider who will take their symptoms seriously and just sort of resign themselves to suffering from disabling chronic conditions or, you know, in worst case scenario, you know, overlook something that's really life-threatening because they've been told so many times, oh, you know, you're just a hypochondriac.
So we're living in a crisis, a health crisis right now, this pandemic. Do you think this gender bias in medicine is showing up now as well?
I think so. I mean, I think one of the big areas where we're starting to see it is in the experience of you know, so-called long-haul COVID patients, patients who had COVID and continue to have a really multitude of different long-term symptoms. And, you know, science is just starting to figure out what's going on with those patients. And it's really taken a lot of patient advocacy, you know, Facebook groups and other online groups that formed as patients were having these experiences have really been critical in sort of pushing the medical system to take them seriously and researchers to start studying them. And a lot of those patients are women. And I think, you know, it's still early to say why that might be, but, you know, we saw since the beginning of this pandemic that there were differences, sex and gender differences in the experience of the disease, with men tending to have more severe disease and be more likely to die from it. And it may end up being the case that women on the flip side are more at risk of these sort of lingering long-term complications. And so, yeah, I think that will, I think those patients are still sort of having to push to be taken seriously. And I think gender probably does have at least some role to play in that.
We're talking with Maya Dusenberry. Her book, Doing Harm, The Truth About How Bad Medicine and Lazy Science Leaves Women Dismissed, Misdiagnosed, and Sick. So Maya, will you kind of explain to us how you gathered this information from scientific research to women's stories? How did this come together for you?
Sure. Well, so the impetus to get interested in this topic started from my own personal experience. I was diagnosed several years ago with autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, before that had been very healthy. So really just hadn't given too much thought to the medical system as a young person. And so it really wasn't until I had that experience and started learning about autoimmune diseases. And I actually had a fine time getting diagnosed, but started hearing other autoimmune patients talk about having these long diagnostic delays and really feeling like they were not taken seriously during that time. And I, you know, became curious to really understand why those kind of stories really seem to be so common for so many women. And so the book, it explores both the sort of research side, so looking a lot at how women's health has been under-researched and those potential sex and gender differences have been overlooked. And also, as I said, these sort of experiences that are rooted in dismissal. So I heard stories from, you know, over 100 women and, you know, interviewed some of them more in depth about their experiences. And the book tries to sort of weave together the research and the medical history with those personal stories that illustrate the problems.
You know, I saw from your website that you, well, I know you're a journalist, you're a feminist, you're also a fact checker. And I think, you know, we live in this world of disinformation and you don't always know where these things are coming from. What did it take for you to show some research or to trust what you were putting in your book? What's that process like?
Yeah. I think being trained as a fact checker, has been just generally very helpful to my journalism and certainly informed my commitment to making sure that I had the facts right and really was sort of learning on the job how to read medical studies. And, you know, I had some background in writing about health, but not too much. So it was, you know, I think it was a learning process and I was grateful at the end to have, you know, to hire a fact checker of my own, which, you know, not all books that are out there are fact checked. So that was definitely helpful for me feeling secure that every fact was corroborated. And kind of more generally, you know, it's been gratifying once the book was released to get feedback from, especially from women physicians and researchers, you know, who have been talking about these issues for a while, and in many cases, you know, saying that it was on point and really did reflect a lot of the realities that the lay public may not be so aware of.
Can you give us an example? You mentioned medical research of where gender bias has really stood out to you, where there was not research done on certain things that maybe affect women specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there are two big issues. There's one, the fact that for many decades, women were just sort of left out or underrepresented in clinical studies, kind of across the board. And that's really a problem that's only begun to be fixed since the early 90s, when there was, you know, congressional hearings on the issue and some public attention to the fact that we were sort of studying men and then extrapolating the results to women and when it might not be appropriate to do that. So on that front, there's certainly been progress over the last few decades to enroll more women in clinical studies, although it's still not always the case that researchers will actually then analyze their results to see if there are differences between the genders. But then I think the second problem is that a lot of conditions that disproportionately impact women have just been sort of neglected entirely. So you have conditions like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, which is also known as myalgic encephalomyelitis. things like endometriosis, vulvodynia. A lot of these conditions have previously been understood as psychosomatic and have been, because of that, really have not gotten a lot of scientific funding and attention. And so I think that's another big way that women are impacted by this knowledge gap, where, you know, a lot of millions of women suffer from these really poorly understood conditions that are largely not understood because medicine has really devoted very little resources towards, you know, actually doing the science that would help us understand them.
So someone may be listening to us, a woman may be listening to us who, you know, has had some symptoms of something but is unsure.
Yeah, I think my biggest piece of advice is just to really try to trust yourself and your instincts that something is wrong, you know, even if you don't know what, and be persistent in finding a healthcare provider who listens to you and recognizes that something is wrong if you feel there is, even if they don't yet know exactly what it is, and is willing to say, you know, I don't know, instead of just reaching to these easy answers to say, you know, it's just stress, or to kind of push you out the door. And I think, you know, as I said, it is very easy for even the most sort of, you know, empowered and educated of us to start to internalize that dismissal. So to really fight against that and to, yeah, keep pushing for the second or third or 10th opinion if you have the resources to do so.
It's Maya Dusenberry. You can find more information on her book at mayadusenberry.com, or see her as part of the virtual Brown Bag Lunch series at the Brainerd Public Library coming up this Monday. Call us if you want more information, 800-662-5799. Maya, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
This Strong Women conversation is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Let us know what you think. Have you had this happen to you where your symptoms were not believed? Email comments at kaxe.org. It was a dream, so it seems.